It's the web's only podcast completely devoted to daily fantasy sports. Welcome to the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Here's your host, Dan Bach.
Hey everyone, what's going on? It's the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix, all presented by Daily Joust. We are the podcast talking everything about the daily and weekly side of fantasy sports. If you don't know who I am, well, welcome to the podcast. I am Dan Bach. I go by DB730 in the world of daily fantasy sports. Pretty much find me wherever there's games being played. I like to kind of spread my bankroll all around. And I have to say, it's been quite a heck of a run for me the last month or so. Another good night last night as I finished second in the 10K Greg Merson. Of course, he is the guy who won the World Series of Poker, kind of invitational over there at DraftKings. So I had a really good night there. Finally, I had a good finish over there. You know, it's been the one site that I just have not been able to really get that big finish. You know, of course, they have overlay a ton on that site. Of $50,000 tournament coming up in the NFL this weekend. So they definitely have some big prize pools, but I just have not been able to, you know, be like Head Shopper and Cal, who just dominate over there. But finally last night put together a solid basketball lineup, took home a comma check, as they like to say, which of course, you know, four figures. That's nice. So finally had a good day over there at DraftKings, and the last month has just been outstanding for me, and I'm giving away a lot of picks. Gave you AK-47 last night in that Timberwolves game. He was just an absolute monster. Now, we're going to kind of avoid NBA tonight. There's only three games on the schedule. As I always say, Thursdays is a terrific day to kind of get ready for the weekend. You can build a Thursday night lineup for the NFL. Maybe enter it in a GPP to kind of see what the weekend is going to have in store in terms of who's popular and who's not. Also, this is a good time to get your college lineups ready. This is a real funky week in college because you've got the SEC playing a whole bunch of just like nobody schools, like 1AA schools. So on sites like DraftStreet, it's going to be, everybody's going to be on the Gators, they're going to be on Georgia, they're going to be on Auburn, they're going to be on all these guys who are playing these 1AA opponents, which I'm not really a big fan of. I have to tip my cap to to Daily Joust and to FanDuel for kind of excluding those from the player pools, because it's just, especially this time of year, you know, it's one thing when it's early in the season and everybody's kind of playing joke teams. You kind of have to have those games. But at this point in the season, where there's tons of in-conference action elsewhere, probably just the best to take those out of the game pools. So nonetheless, I'm going to get my action going pretty much all around on college football. Thursday night is the night I grind out my lineup, so I'll be working on that. Of course, we'll have our big college football write-up tomorrow, and we'll talk about it on the podcast. So hopefully you've been following it. The picks have been very solid for college football. Hope to keep that roll going this week. Joining us here a little bit later on the podcast, we're going to be joined by Fiez Kanji. He was the Week 8 qualifier there in the FFFC, so we'll get his take on the pretty intense sweat it sounded like he had. Not only did he have to try and get into a tournament to play for $150,000, he had to ride out Hurricane Sandy that weekend as well. So definitely a lot on his table that Sunday and Monday night, but he got through it just fine, and we'll hear from him just shortly. I am going to go into some NFL today. We're going to do some tight ends. We're going to do some wide receivers for this weekend, and we haven't broken out a box beef in a while, so I think I'm going to do one, kind of give you some marriage advice. You know, I've been married, what, like 5-6 years, something like that. You know, you lose track after a while, but I'm going to give some marriage advice to people who are going to get married, thinking about getting married, that kind of thing, because, few athletes in the news about that, so I thought it'd be a good time to kind of levy my thoughts, opinions, and of course, advice to you out there. That's what I'm all about. So that's kind of what we got in store with the podcast. And remember, only two more weeks left over there on FanDuel to qualify for the FFFC. I think DraftStreet might have three more weeks, three or four left before they shut it down. So still plenty of opportunities to get into those big tournaments. And FanDuel also, for their basketball championship, they are doing a four times the amount of FanDuel points that you normally get on a DFBBC entry. So no reason not to load up the entries this week, getting four times basically back, and those FanDuel points basically are as good as cash. So it's kind of like a tiered, or not even a tiered system, but a reward system, kind of like a rake back a little bit. So you can use those points to enter cash tournaments. So you get four times the amount that you normally get on every entry. So pretty cool little thing that they have going on there this week with the DFBBC. So without any further ado, we got to start looking to this weekend. Let's hit up tight ends, wide receivers this week in the NFL. Okay, I want to get rolling here with some tight ends. You know, obviously, it doesn't take a genius to tell you that Jimmy Graham is the top option. And, you know, on some sites, it's probably worth taking, depending on the price, what kind of lineup you put together. Going against Oakland, obviously going to have a good game. But I'm going to kind of go off the board and try and give you a few sleepers. If you want to kind of save some money this week at the tight end position and spend it elsewhere, these are some guys I think who might be able to help you out. Let's start with Logan Paulson of Washington. He is now the number one option there in the, not the passing game necessarily, but at tight end since Fred Davis went down for the Washington Redskins. And if you look at his numbers, the last 3 weeks, four receptions, 76 yards, four receptions, 43 yards, and five receptions, 59 yards. So this guy is, you know, about four to five receptions every single week. No touchdowns yet. I have to think one might be coming, but the bottom line is RG3 is trusting him in the pass game. Historically, going to Philadelphia has not guarded the tight end particularly great. Now, again, don't go in with the expectation that Logan Paulson's going to go Jimmy Graham on you. He's not, but if he provides that kind of production and possibly adds a touchdown, he will more than pay off his price. He is very cheap on most sites out there. Put my DraftKings team together this weekend. I got him on one of the teams for sure. So if you're looking for good value at tight end, I like Logan Paulson of the Washington Redskins. Also, Brandon Myers, maybe one of the more overlooked tight ends in the NFL because his numbers have been pretty consistent. Over the past 5 weeks, he hasn't been below 44 yards, gets anywhere from, you know, 5 to 8 receptions a game, and he goes against the New Orleans Saints, which you know can't play defense, you know can score, so therefore you have to think Brandon Myers is going to continue to get looks. Now, 2 weeks ago, against Tampa Bay, which was a similar situation, a team that does not guard the pass well. He scored 2 touchdowns, had a huge fantasy day. I think I'm not going to predict 2 touchdowns again for a guy, but I definitely think, again, for the moderate price that you can find him at, I think Brandon Myers is a guy who can provide you with some upside. Do I like him better than Jason Witten this week? I think he's actually way closer to what Witten is and going to cost a fraction of what he does. So last week we saw a whole bunch of tight ends, big name tight ends, go crazy. You had Graham, you had Gonzalez, Antonio Gates did pretty well. So maybe this is the week some of the lower tier guys, you know, turn it around, because the back-to-back big games, it happens, but not overly common. So I think that Brandon Myers is another good sleeper to take a look at. The funny thing is how the mighty have fallen. JerMichael Finley, I was looking around, you know, this week, for the bargains all around, and sure enough, he's like minimum salary all around. I'm not going to recommend him because simply he's just been bad. Like, there's not even been one game in there that's been impressive. So, but if you want to take a shot on somebody who potentially has upside, he plays in a dynamic offense, you could go with Finley, but the salary, very, very cheap on him. I just can't trust it. I just don't see it necessarily going his way. And lastly, Brandon Pettigrew over there with the Detroit Lions going against Green Bay. I think that game is going to be a shootout. And he hasn't been great this year, but a few games this season, he's gotten 5-7 receptions. Maybe we can get back into that line of that kind of stats this week against Green Bay. So I think Brandon Pettigrew could be a decent option as well. So those are a couple of the sleeper tight ends that I'm kind of taking a look at. Now, over onto the wide receivers, this is a kind of an interesting week here. Lots of different ways you can go. That's the great thing about fantasy sports. You can go lots of different ways each and every week. But I think Reggie Wayne is one guy you have to take a look at. Now, Andrew Luck plays a lot better at home. That's why I'm not necessarily sure I'm going to go that route with Andrew Luck. If you look at the home-road splits, big difference in production for him. But New England, you have to imagine, is going to score at will against this lousy Colts defense. They're going to have to pass it around, and Reggie Wayne just gets more targets than anybody in the league, really. So I think, depending on the site, depending on the price, I think he looks like a solid enough option that I'm willing to roll the dice on this week. Next guy is Denarius Moore. Again, he is going to be a top of a lot of people's list. I think he's going to be one of the most top or popular players out there because, again, we're looking at a shootout. New Orleans just can't play defense. Moore has been productive to a point. I mean, if you look at his numbers, he's not like compiling stats, but what he's doing is he's finding the end zone, which is something you can't argue with. Been in the end zone in four out of the last five games, but with that said, his top reception number is 5, and he's only going over 100 yards once this season. So if he doesn't find the end zone, I'm not sure if he's going to pay himself off. But with Darius Heyward-Bey likely out, I don't want to say likely out, but a little banged up. He missed practice the other day. Chance that Denarius Moore might be more important in the passing game. And if DHB is out, then you can look to somebody like Derek Hagan or Rod Streeter as a few other really low-key options there at the wide receiver position who could pay dividends in this game that I really expect to be high-scoring. The next guy I want to give you, I think Steve Smith with Carolina looks like a good bet. Tampa Bay has not guarded the pass all that well pretty much all season long. Smith, on the other hand, only one reception, 19 yards last week against Denver, but Denver was a tough matchup. The week prior, 3 for 41 against Washington, did have a touchdown, and then the two games before that, 7 receptions, 83 yards, and 118. I just think this is a situation where they got to look his way. He's going to have... Every week, there's big plays against this Tampa Bay defense, and that's the one thing that Steve Smith is kind of known for, is to be that big play guy. So pretty decent shot that something like that happens this week against Tampa Bay at home. And yeah, Carolina, really bad team so far this year. Not that I necessarily think they're going to turn it around, but I think this looks like a good spot for him and Cam Newton against a very questionable secondary of the Tampa Bay Bucks. And the last one that I am going to give you is, I'm looking up and down my list, I think Dwayne Bowe against Cincinnati. I know Matt Castle is garbage, but the thing about Dwayne Bowe is he's a really heck of a player. I mean, if you look at the numbers he's been putting up with the garbage that he has at quarterback, isn't too bad. Now, Cincinnati's not particularly great in the passing game. Normally, it's the number two wide receiver who does so well, but Dwayne Bowe hasn't been in the end zone in each of the last five games. I am definitely under the belief that if a guy is due, he's going to get there eventually, and Dwayne Bowe is more than due. The thing I like about him, salary, I think, is really low for a really high upside guy. Not necessarily going to play him in my head-to-head or 50-50s this week, but I think if you're going to play multiple lineups and GPPs, throwing a Dwayne Bowe in there, depending, of course, on the site and the salary, I think he looks like a guy who could provide you with some upside against a Cincinnati team. Kind of a little bit questionable, and at least he is at home in this game as well. So that's the rundown real quick of who I like at the wide receiver position. And if you want to go team defense this week, lots of different ways you can go. Going against some of these quarterbacks, some of these backup quarterbacks might be a decent enough strategy. So therefore, you got to look at Baltimore. You got to look at San Francisco. You know, Chicago is always a solid option, but they cost so much. I like the Dallas Cowboys against Cleveland. Cleveland's been much more efficient as of late, but with this game being at home, Cowboys really need to pick up a win here to kind of keep momentum going for that team, or get momentum going. I think the Cowboys defense looks like a solid enough play. So those are just a couple of the teams that I am going to look at, and hopefully one of them hits. You know, big defenses can definitely make the difference if you're trying to win these big tournaments. So a lot of it's luck, but takes some skill as well. It's just, for me, the hard thing is spending on defenses because they're unpredictable. It's kind of like kicker. Nobody should spend on kicker because you can't predict it. Now, defense, you can predict it to a point, but there's nothing worse than spending big money on a defense and having them give you like 2 or 3 points. You're like, boy, that seemed like a waste. I could have had Arian Foster if I would have taken a crap defense and did the same thing. But you know, that's how daily fantasy goes. So that's a quick rundown of what we think is going to happen in the NFL. Remember, tomorrow we will come back and hit up the quarterbacks and running backs. But right now, time to get to another FFFC qualifier from Week 8 here on the Roto-Grinders Daily Fantasy Fix. Joining us now on the podcast, we're going back a couple of weeks. He is a FFFC qualifier. He won the $10 buy-in tournament back in Week 8, and he is Fiaz Kanji, and he joins us now on the podcast. Fiaz, thank you so much for taking some time out with us today and joining us here on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Now, let's tell us a little bit about what happened. You know, Week 8 is kind of a while ago. I know I don't even have a clue what happened in terms of who went off, who were the big players that week, but I have a hunch that you probably have a pretty good idea who you had in your lineup. Tell me exactly what you went with that week and how it played out for you.
So my strategy in this particular game was to find guys that I thought would pop. So it was looking at players that were priced at a lower price point but had the potential to go big. So I looked at matchups, and I saw that the Broncos were playing the New Orleans Saints on Sunday night. So I thought, well, Manning, Demaryius Thomas, McGahee, they all seem reasonably priced and have the potential to go off. And so I put them in my lineup and paired them with a bunch of other guys that were a bit more expensive but thought that they would do well. I think my biggest strategy was to look at who was playing the Saints and pick them.
Now that you make reference to it, I absolutely do remember that evening. And how did that go? I mean, did you obviously leading up to that Sunday night game, you probably were nowhere near the top of the leaderboard because you had, you know, a couple of guys going. So did you even think it was a possibility that you would finish on top? Did you do the did you cycle through the scoreboard before the game started?
I did. I was looking at where I ranked heading into the Sunday night game, and I think I was maybe 30th or 40th percentile. So I thought that, you know, if the three or four guys that I had for Sunday and Monday would do well, there was a possibility. But I didn't. I mean, I didn't think much of it. And in fact, that Sunday night in my family fantasy football league, I was playing against an opponent who had McGahee. So for the first half of that game, I was cheering for McGahee not to do so well. And then when I started to see the points accumulate with Manning and Demaryius Thomas, I was like, well, hold on a second. I should start cheering for McGahee. So the three of them did really well that Sunday night against the Saints. And then heading into at the end of the Sunday night game, I think I was in 20th spot. And so first thing I did was check to see who people in front of me had. And it turned out that I was the lucky one who had the 49ers defense, who was playing Arizona on Monday. And the difference between me and the top dog was about 10 points or so. So I knew that if the 49ers were to get more than 10 points on Monday night, there was a good chance that I would win. I was not able to cycle through the people behind me to see what they had, but it looked like I was in good shape. So as we're heading into Monday, I'm thinking that if the 49ers defense gets more than 10 points, then I'm looking good for winning.
Now, how did that Monday night go? I mean, let's face it, a chance to play for $150,000 and, you know, the great experience going out to Vegas on FanDuel's dime. I mean, that's a lot to sweat. Now, I've been in that position myself a couple of Monday nights ago, and it was stressful. It was fun. It was kind of like a mix of emotions, but you knew kind of what you needed. So, I mean, how did that Monday night go? Were you relaxed? Did you have some buddies around? How did you handle that Monday night situation?
Well, so I'm based in the Northeast in Massachusetts. So that Monday was Hurricane Sandy day. So we were all getting ready for the storm. That Monday, my focus wasn't so much on fantasy football, but just making sure my family was fine and that the house was fine. So all of that was top priority for me. Once I knew that the storm wasn't going to hit Massachusetts, I started to ease up a bit on that, and in fact was able to focus more on the Monday night game. So as I'm watching, I'm seeing the Arizona Cardinals suck and the 49ers doing well. What I found out was that there was a guy behind me who had David Akers, who was the kicker for the 49ers, and the 49ers defense. And the point difference between me and him was about 10 points. So I knew that if Akers nailed a few field goals, I was done for. So in the first half finished up, Akers, I think, he had kicked a field goal, it was a long field goal, and had a couple of extra points. So he had more than, he was getting closer to that 10-point mark. And I knew that if Akers hit one more field goal, I wasn't gonna win. And so I was cheering for the 49ers to do well on defense, but at the same time, hoping that they would stay between, you know, stay in, their offense would stay in the Arizona side and not really make any progress towards kicking a field goal or even scoring a touchdown. And at the same time, I'm flipping between the football game and CNN to make sure that people that I knew that were in the Northeast weren't going to be affected. So it was a bit of a muted celebration. I wouldn't say that it would have been as exciting had I known that Sandy wasn't coming around the corner. So it was just me hanging out and watching it with my wife.
And I'll take it at this point in time, you kind of told her what was on the line.
Yeah. So we have a 6-month-old, and so we're both generally tired all the time. And so she fell asleep. She knew what was going on, and she'd wake up every little bit and say, "So how many points did the 49ers defense have?" And I'd give her an update, and she'd roll back to sleep. So the last minute, she kind of watched it with me. So in that last minute, the 49ers defense had around 12 or 13 points. And if they gave up another touchdown to the Cardinals, their point total would drop by about 3 points. So that last drive was I was sweating. So Arizona was down by a lot. They were playing for next week, trying to build momentum heading into the week 9. And they were going for it on fourth down. So they were basically working with four downs. And a couple of fourth downs they converted. At any point, if they would have been squashed on those fourth downs, I would have been good to go. But they made it all the way down to the 7 or 8 yard line. They failed on a couple of attempts. I think Skelton may have gotten sacked as well. So that added to the 49ers point total. But with like 5 or 7 seconds left, the quarterback throws the ball to Fitzgerald at the 2 yard line. All Fitzgerald has to do is reach his arms across the goal line, get that touchdown, and if he does, I'm done. But I don't remember who it was specifically on the 49ers defense, but whoever it was stuffed him.
It's amazing how it's never easy. You know, you had your shot, you know, any of those fourth down plays, stop them, it's easy, you know, it's over, but it's never easy. And as somebody who's got about a 6-month-old myself, I've been in your shoes, I know exactly what the lack of sleep is that you're talking about. We're joined by Fiat Kanji. He's the big winner of the Week 8 FFFC qualifier. Heading out to Vegas now. What you going to do here? Is the wife going to come out with you? I know, you know, with a 6-month-old, sometimes it's kind of a tough situation. Yeah. What's the plans for Vegas?
We talked about that. I think that the plan right now is for her to stay back in Boston. So I'm going to fly solo to Vegas, and I might have a couple of people that come with me. But for right now, nothing solid. Just right now, I'm the only one that's confirmed.
Okay. Yeah, believe me, it's I go out to Vegas to cover the event, and, you know, my wife has been clamoring to come with me, but it's just not, it's really hard to do when you've got a 6-month-old to leave him or drag him all the way out there with you. So I think you're making the right move on that part. First off, how'd you get into daily fantasy sports? How'd you find out about it? How long you been playing?
Well, believe it or not, I've only been playing for 3 weeks. So this week eight was my 3rd week of playing. That qualifier was the first qualifier that I entered. So it's kind of a mini miracle that I ended up winning.
Did you just put in one team into that tournament, or did you put in multiple?
Yeah.
Just one?
No, just one team. So I've been a listener of the SiriusXM Fantasy channel for the last couple of years, and you hear ads about the different daily sites. So I decided to just on a whim one day after hearing an ad, sign up for FanDuel. And that's how I got started with daily. fantasy sports. But I've been playing fantasy sports since the 90s. I grew up in Toronto, so obviously the first thing I did fantasy-wise was play fantasy hockey. And then when I moved to the United States, followed more of the fantasy football and baseball.
So are you still a hockey fan? I mean, obviously there's no hockey to go on right now, but I'll tell you one thing. The daily fantasy hockey, for the guys who really like this sport, it can be a quite profitable enterprise from a lot of the people I talk to.
Well, I haven't played daily fantasy hockey yet. Uh-huh. I'm a huge hockey fan. I love Maple Leafs, believe it or not. And so I really enjoy playing fantasy hockey, and I probably will play fantasy daily when hockey does resume.
I feel sorry for you that you're a Maple Leafs fan. That's coming from somebody who cheers on the Chicago Cubs. So, you know, I know your pain.
Yeah.
Last thing for you. What do you do outside of daily fantasy? It's always good to kind of know, kind of learn a little bit about, you know, the people who are playing. So tell us a little bit about what you do, you know, outside of fantasy.
Sure. I work at a small software company that's based in Boston. We make software that helps other companies manage their intellectual property. We help companies file patents and trademarks. I am the director of engineering here at Anaqua.
Very cool. And you're originally from Canada, is that correct?
Yeah. I grew up in Toronto for a majority of my life. After college, I moved to California, so I was based in Northern California for 6 or 7 years, and then I moved to Boston 6 years ago.
Very neat. Very neat. Well, not too much longer, you're going to have $150,000 on the line with one team. Have you put much thought into that? I mean, have you already looked forward to like the schedule that week or anything? What kind of preparation are you doing for that big tournament in a few weeks?
Yeah, so I did look at the schedule. I know who's playing and what players I'm thinking about already. Of course, I won't be able to know for sure until the salaries for those players are posted on the Monday or Tuesday of that week. But I'm doing a little bit of digging and trying to figure out a way to remove luck from the equation as much as possible. So we'll see what I come up with.
Well, very good. You'll have a 1-in-20 shot at $150,000. Not too many people get to say that. But, Fiaz, thank you so much for taking some time with us today. And we'll see you out there in Vegas. Sure, we'll talk to you out there.
Thank you.
Now, with his observations from the outrageous to absolutely absurd.
Oh, my God. All day is people complaining to me.
It's Box Beef.
So it's time for a quick little Box Beef. This is where I kind of rant about random things going on outside of the world of fantasy sports. And usually things happen in my world or things that I kind of read in the news. And two little nuggets out there about marriage that I think I need to hit up on and kind of inform my audience. Now, a lot of you probably are married already, and you can probably agree with exactly with what I'm going to say here. And then other of you are not married, well, you can use this advice going forward. First off, how about this story with Hope Solo and Jeremy Stephens? Of course, Stephens was the former tight end for the Seahawks and the Buccaneers, and this guy is basically, like, despicable. Like, if you read his history, I mean, we're not talking about a guy making, like, an error in judgment. I think we've all been there and done something stupid in our lives, but this guy, it's not once, it's not twice, it's like, you know, at least like 6 or 7 things that he has done to get himself in trouble, and just looks like a bad dude. And then you got Hope Solo, who, of course, you know, a lot of people know her from the U.S. soccer team. She's the goalie, she's attractive, she was on Dancing with the Stars. And, you know, it's not unusual to have two athletes, you know, meet up and get married. You know, it happens. But it's usually kind of like a longer process. Like, you know, I don't know, they meet up, they date, they live together, all the kind of stuff. And sometimes it takes a year or two because they've got busy schedules. But apparently these two have been together for 2 whole months. And that is exactly kind of the problem that we have here. You know, it's bad enough that she's kind of getting mixed up with like a sketchy former tight end. You know, it's not like, you know, she's went and, you know, she and Tim Tebow met up and are getting married after 2 months. You know, Tim Tebow is a pretty young, wholesome guy, no issues whatsoever. You know, a lot of girls would probably, you know, love to be in that position, but it's not like Jeremy Stephens is a catch. So why be in such a hurry to get married? So you combine that with the fact that apparently they had a disturbance the day before their wedding day because they were arguing about they couldn't decide whether they wanted to live in Florida or in Washington. So this got to the point where cops were called, he was brought in, and eventually let go, but of course there were some questions whether or not there was any domestic issues. And despite that, what do? They went ahead and got married the following day because they're just so in love. But if you are arguing about where you're going to live, what are you going to do when you have, like, real issues to deal with? Well, not that that's not a big issue because it is, but, I mean, that's just the tip of the iceberg. So I can tell you right now, I've never been so sure of a thing in my life. These two are not going to work out. But that and what I kind of saw with Colin Klein kind of is the basis of this box beef. If you're like in deep with a girl, you're thinking about getting married, here's my little thing. You got to live with them first, okay? Now, you can have whatever kind of religious beliefs you have. You know, a lot of people don't believe in sex before marriage and, you know, I don't really fall into that category simply because, believe it or not, like, sex is kind of an important part of a relationship. So, you know, the last thing you want to find out is there's not really a whole lot of compatibility there. And after the fact, you know, once you're married, you're married. Like, you know, if you're that hardcore in your beliefs, that means you probably don't believe in divorce. So you really don't want to be miserable your entire life. So for me, that's number one. But that's a personal thing. But putting that aside, putting this sex thing aside, how about just the fact that you need to live with the person, actually see what they're like every single day? What it's like to wake up with somebody when there is not makeup on, when there's, you know, somebody has a bad day, when somebody's sick, when somebody's, you know, in a situation that you don't expect them to. And I don't think you'll ever see that unless you live with the person. And that's one of the things that you know, I think is absolutely paramount in people getting married. Now, I'm not going to put a timetable on how long you need to live with somebody before you kind of figure out whether or not this is the person you want to live the rest of your life with. I mean, that's the thing. Ultimately, I know divorce happens in like 50 or 60% of marriages, but ideally, I think we want to live with this person our entire life. Do you ready to make that commitment, you know, in Colin Klein's case where you haven't even kissed the girl? That's right. He has not kissed this girl that he's going to marry. How is that even possible? You're going to marry this girl. You're going to live with her the rest of your life. Don't you want to at least get a little smooch? Let alone living with the person? I'm telling you, that's the key, folks. If gentlemen, you're listening to this podcast, just live with the girl. Just give her 6 months. A year would probably be ideal. And at that point in time, you probably have a pretty good idea that what you're getting into. Because just because dates are going well, just because you guys have a good time most of the time together, it's the day-to-day grind that you have to find out whether or not that's what you want to be with. So that's my advice for you. And if you're Hope Solo, come on. You can do better than Jeremy Stevens. You can do better than that guy. In 2 months? Really? Talk about a shotgun wedding. My goodness. I mean, that's the best she could do? I mean, it's not like she's unattractive. It's not like she's, you know, a hefty USA softball player or something like that. I mean, come on. She's a kind of babelicious to a point. I think she's a tad bit overrated, to be honest with you. She's got the gorgeous eyes going, but the rest, you know, doesn't fit the DB730 mold of what I'm looking for. But nonetheless, she can do better than that, Miss Hope. So I'm going to give that one probably about 6 months before that doesn't work out. So that's box beef for this Thursday. So let me tell you about my great friends over there at Daily Joust. I'll tell you what, there's nothing more gratifying when I see new people over there say, "Hey, Dan, heard you on the podcast, thought I'd give it a look." That's great, and I really hope more of you do that if you're listening and haven't given them a try. They've got a lot going on. The Super Joust, of course, $50,000 Super Joust, still have seats that they are giving away for that. Not necessarily giving away, you got to earn them. You got to win your way in the NFL, so lots of opportunities still for you to get into that. That is their marquee event coming up at the end of the football season. Only 50 spots, so exclusive tournament there, and you can find those qualifiers there up for this NFL weekend. Also, college football, lots of action there. I've been pretty successful over there on Joust. They offer the solos. Solos are nice. Those are where you only have to hit a target. I've been doing really well in the NBA solos. I think I went 6 for 6 yesterday. I don't know if Daily Joust likes that, but between the SST and the regular solos, it was a good day. So definitely, if you want to look for an opportunity to play on a site and not have to worry about going against the Sharks, Daily Joust, the only site that's offering those solo competition. Tonight, you got a pretty good slate looking of college basketball. So if you like college hoops, you can go over there and give it a try. Remember, it's only points scored. So even if you're not a super, you know, proficient college basketball fan, or you don't know that much about it, go through the box scores, go through the game logs. They're all there for each of the players, and you only have to look at one category. And with the sample size kind of starting to expand, we're on like game 2 or game 3 for some teams, you can kind of see the track record of how many minutes guys are playing, how many shots guys are taking. So give some college basketball look over there at Daily Joust. Lots of other things going on. I can't even get to them all, but make sure you go over there, give them a chance to earn your business. And remember, the Emperor's Gold Tournament. 3 entries, you pay for 3, that's a $110 buy-in tournament, and they're giving you a free $55 solo contest, which of course, you win that, you win $100 cash, you can do whatever the heck you want with that. So, a nice little more free giveaway over there on Daily Joust with their Emperor's Gold in the NFL. So, lots of stuff going on, please give them a chance to earn your daily fantasy business, dailyjoust.com. And with that, I'm going to say goodbye to you for today. Tomorrow on the podcast, Jay Lowry is going to join us. I think it's Jay Lowry 74. I'm not sure the number afterwards, but he's a longtime player and certainly looking forward to talking with him on tomorrow's podcast. We'll also have college football. We'll have NFL and maybe just a little bit of NBA as the DFBBC qualifiers continue on Friday night. So in the meantime, follow us over there on Twitter at RotoGrinders. Go to our Facebook page. Some special extra daily plays over there on our Facebook page and on iTunes. Subscribe to this podcast. You'll have it each and every day. Till tomorrow, everybody, have yourself an excellent Thursday night, and we will see ya.